This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
It's good to have you on board. We're live in Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is the spot. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on Sirius XM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. More bets to get into in the divisional round. We'll look at some weekly leader bets coming up in this hour. Also, news that came in the last half an hour, Sam Darnold has been listed questionable by the Seattle Seahawks for the game on Saturday against the San Francisco 49ers because of an oblique injury. Clint Kubiak, offensive coordinator, declined to talk about it. Drew Locke took reps today. And on the odd screen, nothing has changed yet. That's the key number of 7. I haven't noticed any book moving anything, and I don't think they're going to until anything would become official.
There he is. He's got the gun. Ah, sure. Going for a jog. Nothing to see here. Got the helmet on. 2 days away from game.
On X, you can always get in touch with the show. At VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Pauly Howard. This is from Mystic Rich. If Darnold's injured and Drew Lock starts, it's time to panic. Darnold's the only reason why I bet the 49ers.
Oh, come on.
Would people like the Seahawks more if the number comes down with Drew Lock? That's not bonkers. Like, I think if the number comes down...
The guy had a good year.
I know he did. I understand that.
It's just people are betting on the history here.
Oh, for sure.
But
they think the collapse is coming. And unless he wins a Super Bowl...
Drew Lock's been bad. I mean, he beat Philly on the Monday night game. He's dangerous with his legs. He was awesome when he beat the Colts and they shouldn't have. So he blew to one pick. But other than that, he's been moving around and been a bust. So,
what do you think about this? This is from Brian. Look at Juszczyk. If you can find any out catches, he had 2+ catches in 3 of the 6 full games without Kittle and last week.
Yeah, I'm looking at Robinson, but I can't get it. Any bat signal been sent out here, guys, if you can help us. I'm looking at Robinson again. I mean, that's a guy where he could ladder him. Nobody had that, what he did last week. And that guy has big playability and big catchability. So yeah, I still don't see
the status on him.
He's questionable. Yeah, right. So that's something to monitor too. But books are late to post on that where, okay, so I trust Charchantongas, but Juszczyk, Robinson, all these guys mixing it around, a ton of McCaffrey, makes a lot of sense. But the guy who did a lot of damage against Philly and the guy who's had some good moments has been Robinson too.
Sure. Now, Seattle can be had again by tight ends. Charch and I are on the same page for a lot of stuff he brought up earlier today, one of which would be Tongas. I was actually looking at him. I love this, by the way. I want this posted at several books every week next year in the regular season. Which tight end will have the most receiving yards for the week? And I also want which running back will have the most receiving yards for any week, if they could post something like that. I think it's
what
a
do
lot
you like
of fun
this week?
To handicap.
What do you like this week?
Well, Tongas would be one guy I would peek at.
He's 10-1.
I don't hate it.
Parkinson's 35.
Oh, man, but
maybe 60 yards is good enough to do it. I don't know.
He likes to sprinkle it around like he 8 does. Tight ends that they play.
I know he does, but Parkinson can have 225-yard catches, no problem.
Yeah, don't you think Parkinson, by the way, could be, if he had a team all to his own as like the number one tight end and real no stiff cup, like he could really be one of the better guys in the league?
Barner can't be 11-1 and Parkinson 35. That's no. I'd much rather have Parkinson. And he's a lot better, better odds. Kincaid's +650, Hunter Henry's 5-1. Loveland, the favorite, +210. He was awesome last week.
Yeah, that number's way too short.
So you asked that question, too, about, you know, this is could be the coldest game Stafford's ever played in. In rain and snow, he's 1-9 going back. And the Rams are 2-8 last 10 in Chicago. You asked, how about the Bears? Well, Johnson knew this was coming, and they've been practicing outside for a long time and no heaters allowed. And now that's going to pay off. And now the players, after complaining for a while, said, okay, there's a method to the madness. I know why you made us do this all this time. So now it arrived, and it's finally here on Sunday, where we're looking at maybe 10 degrees and one win away from going to the NFC title game.
Yeah, I will say this. I mean, living in Los Angeles, now not every player has been with the team for like 10 years, I get that, but when you're in a warm weather climate, your blood becomes accustomed to that. I mean, we can speak to this. You and I are from the Midwest. I used to play basketball in shorts in around freezing temperatures in February and March outside with my buddies. And when it would finally become like 35 degrees and the ice would melt and turn into puddles, it wouldn't matter. We'd have t-shirts and shorts on. I was never impacted by that. Now my blood is thinned out after being in the desert and 110 degree summers for 20 plus years. And I'm not nearly, like the wind out here impacts me much more than when I would have been younger. So once you get used to that, and we, like Lance on X said yesterday, these Bears players, even though they haven't played in playoff games before, they're like living in this, and they have now, you know, like your body's going to get used to that over at least how many ever days we're talking about here. And I can see that. To me, it took a long time for my blood to thin out, but it finally got there.
It happened Sunday night.
Yeah.
I think it was more what they were out coached, but the Chargers weren't ready for anything. Mm-hmm. And that is now 1-15 with that angle where you're in warm weather dome slash, you know, whatever you want to call SoFi, and going back when you're playing under 40 degrees, plus all those issues the Miami Dolphins have had.
Yep.
You know, they might be tough guys in the pregame warmups, take the shirts off. But as Packer players said, we knew they couldn't handle the cold and that game in Lambeau 2 years ago.
Okay, so Steve Mackinnon, great trends, great historical numbers every single week in the NFL, VSiN.com. We've had five road favorites in the last 29 years of the divisional playoffs. The Niners, they were the first team to win in 2014. That was Kaepernick going to Carolina, and they pounded Cam Newton and the Panthers 23-10. The other four lost outright NATS, including Baltimore last season in Buffalo.
Yep, blew the game.
We're going to have two this week, but now the Broncos are favored. The Rams are the only other road favorite this week. It's not going well for teams like that over the years. In 2022, for the first time since 2009, road teams took the divisional round by winning three of the four contests. Hosts got it back the next 2 years by going 6-2 straight up and 4-4 ATS. Last year, they won three of the four games outright, but were only 1-3 ATS. Dogs were 4-0 ATS last year. 4-0 ATS in this round a season ago. Home team since 2009, 46-18 straight up, but only 31-32-1 ATS in the divisional round, 49.2%. Also, 8-12 ATS the last 5 years. Not good. Going to go bankrupt like that. Point spreads have proven to be a strong giveaway as to which team should win in divisional playoff games. Home favorites of 5.5 points or less, 5.5 points or less, are only 17-15 straight up, 13-19 ATS since 2006. When they're laying 6 points or more, 34-13 straight up, 21-25 in ATS. He's got numbers upon numbers for this round. Road teams, strong lately in the divisional round when in the +3.5 to +9.5 range, 29-17-1 ATS, 63%. The Niners fit that this week. As Mackinnon wrote, again at the website, teams fight all year long to have home field advantage throughout their conference playoffs. However, it has not lasted long. One seeds are 30-14 straight up, but 15-28-1 ATS going all the way back to 2004.
Can't believe that.
I know.
Cannot believe it. The last time the one seed in the NFC won the Super Bowl was 2017. Look what happened to Detroit last year, too.
Yeah, sure.
It's funny.
Yeah, he pointed that out, too. So
a couple times it was Dallas. It was, the one seeds have been on a bad run in the NFC.
Well, especially for what it's worth, when they play six seeds, we got two of those this week, but when ones take on the six, home teams are 13-8 straight up, but 6-14-1 ATS. Lions were pounded last year. Couldn't stop the Commanders to save their lives, and now we get Buffalo and the Niners as those two six seeds on the road against the ones this weekend. Good stuff from Steve Mackinnon at the website again.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, this Darnold thing's absolutely fascinating. Here we are on Thursday, and at like 4:30 Eastern time, the news come down that, oh, look at this, oblique, suddenly questionable. Maybe it's absolutely nothing to look at, but who knows?
Well, it's not ideal. Even if he doesn't, Drew Locke taking the snaps.
Sure.
I mean, this is, be a sick way to go out the year they've had. Second biggest playoff underdogs in franchise history for the Niners.
Well, yeah.
That's surprising. 10-point dogs, I think, in the 70s at one of those games.
I want to see if Dr. David Chow, who joins us on the Sunday Morning Tailgate Show, he has not put a video out yet on X, but I'm curious what his thoughts are on the oblique with Darnold here. Again, we're approaching game day in a couple of days. He did tweet out a thought on Fred Warner. He was out there today on the practice field, but he did not have a helmet on. Dr. David Chow retweeted a video of this, and he said the ups and downs of accelerated rehab, still great progress, return soon as possible, but not at 100%. I wonder what Warner would be at. I like this angle, by the way, that people have been talking about. He, you know, covering guys out of the backfield, tight ends, whatever.
This is a good discussion. Like, can Warner play next week? Can Nico Collins play next week? Sure. All this.
But but maybe, you know, Warner, you can't expect him to be the same guy. But what does he mean as a leader out there, barking signals and as like the green dot and the captain of the defense and what that could mean? And how these players realize like what kind of a special season that they're putting together. There was a tweet today from Hembo, who works at ESPN. The dollars that were lost this year because of injury and the team's record, the Niners, the salary cap, right? And how many guys they've lost. They've lost like $153 million worth of guys. And here they are. And they were playing for the one seed. Every other team was like 3-14.
Oh, God.
That lost that much talent.
I think he should win Coach of the Year.
So do I.
The other thing is now people are so paying attention to what that the report is. And then Kittle got hurt that now the report is 49ers, or excuse me, free agents are saying no San Francisco.
Oh, because of the, yeah.
Yeah, the because pump, of that, the electromagnetic thing, whatever's with the substation by the facility.
Time to panic there.
Think it's, satanic black magic.
More divisional round stat leaders coming up next. I was surprised to see this team ranked dead last in a key metric on defense. I'll tell you who it is next.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on
VSiN. I have more bets to look at here for the divisional round, National Football League. I ran this down a little bit earlier. I'll bring it back up again. Where you can look at the weekly leader numbers. Paul Charchian was on 45 minutes ago. He made a case for R.J. Harvey to be the guy for the most rushing yards.
I agree. I think he has a big game on the ground and maybe certainly over his receiving yards, too. There'll be targets for him.
He's plus 850 most rushing yards. So there's a guy at that same number, and I think there are two running backs to look at in the same game. You're not going to get like a 50-1 here, but we're talking about plus 650 and a plus 850. Again, the Bears were 29th in adjusted line yards on defense. The Rams on offense, number one, second best stuffed rate, second best at the second level. The Rams were 20th on defense, adjusted line yards. The Bears on offense, third best, second in power success, fourth lowest stuffed rate, and first at the second level. To me, this is going to be with the temperatures playing such a big role in this game. Again, maybe it doesn't have an impact. The wind is going to impact, obviously, the passing more than anything else. But if it does turn into, you know, hey, our guys are really good at running the football, and you know what? That team's not very good at stopping the running game. I think that Swift and Kyren Williams are both worth a look. Now, I know what you're going to say about Corum, and I can't fight back on that, but also I'll remind you, and I thought it was a great point by Ryan Kramer, who came on last week, and he said the Rams have been saying pretty much the entire year they're trying to save Kyren Williams for the playoffs.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe this would be like the 25-carry game.
The price seems good, too. It's a good price. Swift, 10 yards each quarter, 5-1. 5 yards each quarter, plus 160. Swift and Williams, 25 yards each half, plus 650. Yeah, they got the same stuff for Williams, too. I did lose on one of the Williams bets earlier, but that's because he got two carries, I think, for 4 yards on the first drive, and then they brought him Corum and didn't get the ball again in the first quarter. But that goes back to I don't know if we'll see that this time around.
So Swift and Kyren Williams, 25 yards each half, pays plus 650.
Yes.
Man.
Come on.
I think that might be worth a nibble there.
Yeah. It's a great market. It's a great job by the traders at Will Hill and Caesars. Every game, they got 200 different options like that with combos and or individuals as well. It's excellent.
So the Patriots overall, they have full season again, really good numbers against the rush. Like, for example, second level in open field, they're 7th and 8th overall in the entire league. Stuffed rate, they were 13th. But how about power success allowed? Dead last. Nick Chubb, 2 touchdowns.
Oh, wow.
At the goal line, they yank out marks.
Stover? Tush push?
Oh, I'm talking, well, would they use that twice, you think? I guess if it works the first time, huh?
The more I think about it, we have to bet again every team to have a rushing touchdown. 45-1. Bears game? Yes. Patriot game? Yes. Bills game? Yes.
I'm going to say Texans game. I'm not so sure.
Ah, come on. They'll get in the end zone.
Both defenses are so good. Would you be surprised? Well, you're going to be because you want to bet a touchdown in every quarter or point in every quarter. We almost had...
If that's the game, I would point to New England. If you get a scoreless quarter, I would say it's the Patriot-Houston game.
How about a no touchdown in one of these games? Man, I thought the Texans-Steelers game was trending that way in the second quarter still the other night, and then they popped off some good runs and marks finally got in the end zone.
I think May will take care of the ball, but I can't say the same thing about Stroud. And also, maybe there's a big special teams play coming. You know, that could happen too.
Yeah, so the two guys I would look at, again, not the biggest numbers, but I look at Kyren Williams there and also DeAndre Swift. Who did you have your eye on for most receiving yards? I mean, forget about last week. That's not going to happen again. Well, if it does, I mean, good luck finding the guy, but Christian Kirk was 400-1.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the board at half these spots.
Yeah. That's a tough market. And also, FanDuel will put up Triple Crown, and a bomb's going to hit with there. You imagine that price that's going to hit if you can nail that.
Okay, so here's the pecking order as well, the way it looks. I'll go in reverse order. Defenses against the tight end. Broncos 18th overall in DVOA. Mm-hmm. They allowed 61 yards per game to the position. Again, Paul Charchian joined us, and he was awesome. But that breakdown was so good. If you missed it, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. But the Seahawks overall, 16th in DVOA. Paulie, they allowed 64.2 yards per game to the position, more than any team remaining in the playoffs. There's no George Kittle. This screams Tongas in this game. Screams him. So I don't know if you want to bet he's now down to 9-1 at DK most receiving yards for a tight end. But
10 at FanDuel.
10 at FanDuel. Shop around. Okay. But I do like the catches. I like the yards. I don't mind the anytime touchdown on him. So I think he's an angle there. Okay. The Patriots, 15th in DVOA. They allowed 58 yards per game to the position overall. That would be a Dalton Schultz spot, but he's 5-1. Most yards for a tight end. The Bears were 10th, allowing 52.4 yards per game. You brought up Parkinson, 30-1. I like that number.
It's a good number.
I think that's worth a flyer on it. But my concern would be, is it going to be Higbee? Is it going to be Ferguson? Like, who else is he going to throw to at that position?
I'm still waiting on receiving. They haven't put it up yet. That's the problem. They take their time on this. But hey, I know he sprinkles it around, but I still think Parkinson could have 80 yards, 60 yards. You got to fade Loveland, who's going to be a big part of the offense too. But that's another one, which I mentioned earlier. Loveland and Puka. 5 yards each quarter. And then 10 yards each quarter. 5 yards each quarter is 9-1. I don't think it's asking a lot to have one catch for those guys every single quarter and how big part of the offense they're going to be. It's going
to
be.
Keep in mind, the 49ers allowed 10 touchdowns to tight ends. 10, 57 yards per game. But Arroyo is now trending in the right direction.
Yes, right. That hurts the Barner.
Yeah, and he's 10-1 most.
And a good job. He's at least listed. Arroyo's 125-1 if the craziness could happen.
Sure,
that game.
And I will point out with the Texans, because Hunter Henry has been one of May's favorite targets the entire year.
Yep.
Now, he's 5-1 most yards by tight end this weekend. The Texans are the second best team defensively DVOA-wise against tight ends. They only allowed 45 yards to the position, but 8 touchdowns overall, too.
Ooh.
Now, nobody remaining, obviously, is close to the Bengals that bad against tight ends, but I think some of these defenses can be exploited a little bit anyway.
All right.
I'm going to rule out Matthew Stafford most passing yards, by the way.
He's like 2-1 in some spots.
Way too small of a number. I don't want to get involved with that weather game.
Yeah, right. Yeah, hopefully weather's a factor and then a nice ticket could cash there.
May is 6-1. Very good defense he's taking on.
Boy, the more you watch some of these videos and previews, it's like they think May is going to have a lot of damage done on the ground again. Maybe 6-1 most rushing isn't bad. And maybe 35.5 is a gift.
Boy, that's another great market to put up. Most rushing yards by a quarterback on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that's strong.
That would be good.
But it's like what Sal Pal said. Aaron Rodgers can't move. They're going to move the pocket. They're going to get him out there. And they may can do some damage.
Yeah. Did you see this report that came out when Tomlin told the team it's time for him to step down? Evidently, Rodgers was in tears and said, I'm sorry. And I think it was TJ Watt fighting back tears as well, said, no.
I didn't see that. No.
That report came out earlier today.
Okay. Breaking news. They just talked to Sam Darnold. When asked what the percentage was he wouldn't play, he said closer to zero. I felt a little something while warming up. They decided to shut it down for the day. Felt something in my oblique. Didn't want to push it. Got some rehab. I'll be ready to go Saturday. Locke received the first team reps in practice. Jalen Milroe's the third string quarterback.
Hello, anytime touchdown, Milroe.
Tush push with Milroe.
Going to be a package
right.
for him.
Yeah, it'd be great. And Nick Taylor's got a share of the lead with Ben Griffin. It's getting good. The Sony Open. All right.
Yeah.
Jeff Seeley gave out Nick Taylor.
Is he in the clubhouse right now?
No, he's on 17.
Okay.
Ben Griffin is in the clubhouse, 7-under.
Ben Griffin.
Doing it
Your
again.
Guy.
That's right. And I forgot to bet him.
He was around 15-1.
First round or
four? No, for the whole tournament that I saw, yeah.
Damn. All right.
Yeah. Welcome back, golf. God, I love the sport.
Yes.
Good. It is a blast. Got Bobby it. Mack, by the way, who I read a lot of negative stuff to about this week. He's at 4-under right now. For ninth. And he just had one lip out.
Get ready for Big Game 60 with a big deal to Matt. Save $60 off a VSiN Pro annual subscription when you sign up using promo code FTM. Become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber and bet smarter all year long with full access. Every best bet, every host, every guest. The DK and Circa betting splits, AI-powered prop tools as well. All the betting guides and the picks for the Super Bowl and the madness. VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code FTM. Incredible stuff up every single day on the website. College Hoops, Cohen, Peterson. Golf, Nigel with the soccer, Mackin with all the NFL. It's incredible. FTM is your code. Save money today. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Okay, so if Sam Darnold's that confident, then again, this comes down to teams recently listing players as questionable when they come down with an illness, like on game day or like on a Saturday night before the game on Sunday. They have to do this, otherwise they're going to get penalized from the league. So even if this could absolutely be nothing from Darnold, but it's just the Seahawks saying, yeah, he did complain. We yanked him from practice, and Locke came in to take the first string reps. Greg Peterson on the program coming up next. He has more than a handful of bets for tonight's college basketball card. Find out who he likes coming up.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Got some college basketball here as we head out to the Progressive guest line. Greg Hoops Peterson joins the program. You can get his daily write-ups, and he is not shy about firing away. Even when we have only one like team in the top 25 ranked tonight, he likes to roll up the sleeves. He gets down and dirty with the lower leagues as well. We'll get his best bets here. Greg, good afternoon. Thanks for the time, pal. We appreciate it. I want to begin with this, though. The latest betting scandal in sports involves college basketball. Again, to go over some of the stuff, these bettors were getting down $458,000 on a Towson game. How about $424,000 on Kent State to cover the first half against Buffalo? A bunch of bets, more than $250,000 with some of these teams that are, I mean, South Alabama, Northern Kentucky. What was your biggest takeaway from that story today?
For one, there's clearly not just one bettor placing one bet on $450,000 in Towson versus North Carolina A&T. This has to be some sort of group of people. This has to be, if you are only having a few bettors, people betting it over and over and over and over. And if you read into some of the texts, I know that Pete Thamel posted up some of those as well. They were talking about, oh, we need Towson to knock off North Carolina A&T by at least 10 points. I can tell you, I've been tracking these Towson versus North Carolina A&T games for the last few years. Towson typically much more than a 10-point favorite in that spot. So that tells me that they're probably betting some alternate lines. And I mean, the biggest thing for me is that it's a big giant web with this. Like, there's a lot that is going on. It's probably happening at multiple different books. And I think that there's many, many different layers to it that we probably are going to need a little bit more information to know exactly what happened with it all. Because I just am in disbelief if you're able to get down $450,000 on Towson to be able to cover 10-plus against North Carolina A&T.
Well, it's easy. Interesting how they sold this to these guys about here's 30 grand or 20 grand. You can win, but just don't cover. Good point about the alts as well. Take us through the players that were affected that were still playing. And like the guy at Kennesaw who's been suspended that was leading the team in scoring.
Yeah, Simeon Cottle being out for Kennesaw State, that's actually a really big deal. Like, typically with these betting scandals, you might have, like, one guy that was averaging 2 or 3 points that's off the team. Like, I know that Wisconsin had one of the guys from Temple, and he never got out there on the floor. That was a big, giant nothing burger. Like, this legitimately affects Kennesaw State big time. That is their top scorer for a team that plays super up-tempo, guy that has the ball in his hands quite a bit. He's probably worth, at the minimum, 3 to 3.5 points to the line for Kennesaw State. That's going to be hurting them. The guy Carlos Hart for Eastern Michigan, he's one of three guys that averages double figures for them. I have to downgrade Eastern Michigan for them now. Now, with Kimeon Shell, he wasn't doing a lot for his team, so that one is not going to be too much. But, like, there's actual players that are making meaningful contributions that have been listed here. They're all been suspended indefinitely. You want to be really brushing up on this, whether you're someone that's looking into this or not, because this affects the teams out there on the court this year, which makes this very different than a lot of the other scandals in the past.
All right, let's go hardcore tonight. Again, Gonzaga is the only ranked team in action, but I want to start in the Summit League. Pauly St. Thomas Tommies from basically his neck of the woods in action, taking on North Dakota, and the Tommies off to a good start again this year, 14-4 overall, 3-0 in league play. Are they laying too many points tonight, though?
I think so. When I was writing this up, I was seeing this line right around 9.5 and 10. I took the points with North Dakota. Now, North Dakota, not a great defense. They are outside the top 275 in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. They do one thing well, though. They generate turnovers. They are 29th in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis, and they go up against a St. Thomas team that has been a solid offensive team. They're in the top 80 in terms of points per possession. Here's what St. Thomas won't do, though. Give themselves extra opportunities to score. Out of 365 Division I teams, they are currently ranking, depending upon the day, 362nd or 363rd in terms of offensive rebound percentage. So if they miss their first shot, they're not really going to be able to get a second opportunity. And North Dakota has been pretty good in terms of not allowing those second and third chances. They've got a guy in Eli King that began his career over at Iowa State. He's been a nice little bit of statue suffer for them. North Dakota, they've struggled a little bit with their scoring as well. And they're a little bit more of a mid-tempo team this year, not necessarily cranking up the tempo. But I think the way that they generate turnovers, the way that St. Thomas doesn't give themselves second chances to score, that allows North Dakota on their home floor. And it's not necessarily the easiest road trip for St. Thomas here for the North Dakota team to hold in there. So took the points we're here with North Dakota right now, seeing that 9.5 to 10.
All right. Don't look now. But Doug Gottlieb's crew, the Phoenix of Wisconsin Green Bay, playing much better basketball. Now, he quit the radio job, and I think it makes a little bit of sense here that the team's been on the uptick. They are undefeated in the 2026 calendar year, and they're 5-2 in conference play in the Horizon. They're on the road tonight, laying about 3.5 against Cleveland State. Do you trust the Gottliebs here, the Fighting Gottliebs, or do you want to go the other way?
I think that this is actually a bad matchup for UW Green Bay, and I recognize that Cleveland State has been a rough team thus far this season, but personally, I made Cleveland State the 1-point favorite here because with Cleveland State, their biggest weakness has been losing the turnover battle. They're outside the top 300 in terms of turnovers per possession on offense, outside the top 275 in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis on defense. But here's what UW Green Bay does not do. Generate turnovers. Bottom 10 team in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis, and they don't give themselves second chances. Bottom 15 team in terms of offensive rebound percentage, and this Cleveland State team shoots it well from 3-point range. top 75 team with their 3-point shooting percentage. Trey Beard has been able to give you 15 plus points per contest. He shoots it relatively well from the outside. It's a Cleveland State team that does an okay job in terms of being able to give themselves some second and third chances. They've had a few guys be banged up, especially some of their low post presence that are back. So I do think that Cleveland State is a little bit better than their metrics would indicate. And for this UW Green Bay team, you do have Marcus Hall as the main constant for them, but it's been a little bit hit or miss as to who's been able to step up for the team outside of him. So I'm going to trust in Cleveland State here on the money line. And for Cleveland State, they're a team that's really, really looking to push tempo right now. Top 50 team in terms of total possessions per game. They're really giving it up on defense. And frankly, both of these teams are. If this does come down to the spread, right now you're probably going to be getting a little bit of late game fouling at a 150.5. I think that those late game free throws can also push you over the total.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Greg Peterson, he does daily write-ups, college basketball savant here at VSiN. You can go check him out at VSiN.com during the college basketball year, baseball season as well, along with other sports. Let's stick in the horizon because IU Indy is a team that caught our attention to begin the year. New coach, crazy hectic pace he wanted to bring to this program. And the first game against Ohio State, both teams scored over 100. So it's like, oh my God, these books can't make the totals high enough. And they started to play a bunch of unders. Now, they're a bad basketball team. They're 4-15 and 0-8 in league play. But tonight's game against Robert Morse, small enough a number for you to maybe trust this team to go over yet again?
Yes, because with IU Indy, their totals got way overinflated after their first few games. They played that harebrained game against Long Island. You mentioned that game against Ohio State. And then from there, they just kept on going under because they kept on placing these totals right around the high 170s, the low 180s. And IU Indy has slowed down a little bit more in conference play, but they're still a team that ranks in the top 10 nationally in terms of total possessions per game. And for IU Indy, if they don't generate a turnover, you're going to get very clean looks for one, and two, they get absolutely dominated on the glass. And one thing that this Robert Morris team does an amazing job of is grabbing offensive rebounds. Top 25 team in terms of percentage of their missed shots that result in an offensive rebound. You've got Nicholas Chatakoulis along with Deshaun Good, who's been very good, combining for about 15 to 16 rebounds per game. So they are going to be able to get those second and third chances. And for IU Indy, they've actually played about two-thirds of their games to the under. I think a lot of people would be surprised by that because you saw those first few games of the season go over the total. They got overinflated. Now you're finding the buy point once again on the overs because a lot of people are like, hey, I got burnt taking the over last few times. Let's go under. And the bookmakers have had to shade the totals down. Now I think we're back on that buy point four and over. And we did see their last game against UW-Milwaukee go over the total.
Gonzaga in action tonight, as Mitch mentioned, ranked 9th, 17-1. Only lost to Michigan. Could this team run the table into the actual tournament?
I think that they're going to lose somewhere along the way because St. Mary's just always seems to play this team relatively tough. And you want to be noting the weekend matchup for this Gonzaga team against Seattle because they got pushed to overtime against Seattle on their home floor that's within the state of Washington. Now, I don't know if Seattle's going to be able to win that game outright, but clearly they were able to unearth something. They played that single-digit game against San Diego. So while this Gonzaga team only has one outright loss, they've had a few struggles here in conference play, and them laying 19 tonight, having to go to Pullman, which I recognize is within the state of Washington once again, but Pullman is not an easy place to be able to go to. I think that Washington State is going to be able to cover this summer. And for Washington State, one thing that works in their advantage in this game tonight as well, they don't allow second chances. Third in the country in terms of defensive rebound percentage, teams grab less than 20.5% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. And it's break glass, a case of emergency for Ace Glass, who had that memorable performance in the Maui Invitational a little bit before, averages 15 points per game for Washington State. I think Washington State just catching a few too many points here. And while Gonzaga is a really good team and their defense is really better than ever, I do think that they're starting to get a little bit overinflated with these lines. And we've seen some struggles.
Quickly here, we're up against the clock, but we're not going to hold you to this either. If you had to bet on one team to win the national title right now, who would it be?
I would have to go with Arizona just because they've had the fewest tests. I recognize that against Arizona State yesterday, they have had a little bit of a struggle there, but this is an Arizona team that's went on the road. They've knocked off so many ranked teams and they just feel very complete right now.
Thanks, Greg. Best of luck with the card tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Take care.
And there you go. By the way, his daily podcast is called Coast to Coast Hoops, part of the VSiN podcast family here. Does a great job. He really hardcore with the breakdown, as you can tell there. Again, Coast to Coast Hoops is a podcast, daily write-ups at vsin.com as well. Latest news in the National Football League: received an injury update from a head coach this morning. Wasn't great news for the team. That's next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
More news today. Big news, National Football League. Very early this morning, it broke that John Harbaugh accepted a deal to become the next head coach of the New York Giants. And early reports today suggesting that he's going to bring Monken with him as the OC.
Wow.
I don't like it.
Okay.
Do you?
$20 million a year. Five-year deal.
Well, let's see. I like it, right? If you know your guy that you want and you don't want to mess around, you have to go through the interview process, obviously, in the NFL, the Rooney Rule. But if he's the guy that you're going to target, there's no salary cap here with the coaches. You can offer whatever you want. So I said last week, if the Lions really don't want to lose Ben Johnson, offer him $12 million to be the OC. Who cares? It's funny money.
Someone inside the room said they when they interviewed McCarthy, he was just telling stories the whole time.
I can see that.
Big Mike.
Yeah.
I thought he would take the Atlanta job and maybe focus in on that.
Harbaugh.
Yes. Easy division. Tougher division with the Giants. And then all the misery here going back with the one exception the last 10 years, that fluke when they beat the Vikings and had the easy schedule.
You sounded surprised when I just mentioned I don't like the idea of Monken. You've ripped Monken more than anybody who I've ever met.
Well, yeah, he gets away from the run, but I don't have Derrick Henry here. But certainly it was, I thought he did a poor job. No doubt about it.
You know who would be a good OC with the Giants? Brian Daboll.
Yes, right.
But you have a lot of good candidates out there this as well to become an OC.
I know. This is funky where it's the options that you have. Do you want to go to a bad organization that continues to lose time and time again or go to a winning organization and a good organization and be an OC and work with a talented quarterback?
Right.
That's what a lot of these guys are facing. And I don't know what's going to happen with Flores. It sounds like he's going to be a DC and move on to somewhere else. I don't think head coaching job is going to become available. But the first domino is falling here, and we'll see what happens coming up with some of these moves.
Yeah, you never know. But, I mean, like a guy like Mike McDaniel, right? He showed up in Miami.
FanDuel's got numbers up, too, on all these guys with the odds and the Kelce, as you always talk about.
Right. A lot of promise there. Really a sophisticated offensive mind. Goes there. They put 70 up on Denver. They're running wild with Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. It's really popping with Tua Tagovailoa. Then it just kind of falls off of a cliff. Like, does he want that taste in his mouth? Or does he actually think to himself, you know, I don't want the pressure of being the everyday coach, although I'm going to get paid more. I could maybe take the job with Detroit and go work with Goff and Gibbs and Montgomery and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam you see what I'm saying? Like, that's a luxurious job to have. I would not be, that's not an insult. I think that would be, a guy like McDaniel should look at it as an honor to go there and coach that offense. Because no matter what team he's going to take in the NFL, they're probably not going to have those weapons. No, how many teams have those weapons?
Hey, we're seeing a lot of guys going one and done too. That's been happening. And we talked, I can't believe this was 9 openings. So there was 10 4 years ago.
Right, but I also think
no one has patience either.
Here's the thing. You can tell right away, I think, some of the coaches who have it and some who don't. Do we think Aaron Glenn's going to blossom into a great NFL coach?
No.
It seems highly unlikely. A guy like Ben Johnson has a chance to be like completely elite, but he's got to get that Dan Campbell stank off of him from going for it on 4th and 5 at his own 30-yard line. There's aggressiveness, and then there's stupidity. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, this is so Ty Johnson did not work out today. Last check. To be determined if he's going to actually be able to give it a go in this game for the Bills on Saturday against Denver. Jordan Poyer, Maxwell Hairston, secondary players for the Bills, both out in that game against the Broncos. Can Bo Nix exploit? It's a really good passing defense. It's a pretty poor rushing defense, as we all know, for the Bills.
I'm with Charch. I think it's a big Harvey game. I think it's a big game on the ground. Charch is also right. Cohen lost his mind. Stick with the run. That's how you attack the Bills' defense. Also, I think Nix will have a solid game. And I like that Peyton's been in a bad mood the last 2 weeks because of how bad they played against the Chargers when they try to lock up the one seed.
I'll point this out. Defensive lineman Ed Oliver, he's been on the IR since October 28th. Could return for this game, which would only be a good thing, I think, helping stop the run. And also in the Seattle game, offensive lineman Charles Cross, very good. Tight end Elijah Arroyo, they were both full participants. Yep. Now, Kobe Bryant in the secondary, he was a full go. However, Reek Woolen and DeMarcus Lawrence, limited for the Seahawks.
Yep. Warner out, Pearsall questionable.
Confirmed, not Warner, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of stuff fits tonight in hockey. Again, Ian Duncan and I do a good job with the goal in the first 10. Good job last night. Jonathan Davis went 3-1. He likes Montreal tonight in Buffalo. Sharks are on the road against Washington. The Capitals, goal in the first 10, 7 in a row. That fits tonight. Vancouver against Columbus. Columbus at home, goal in the first 10, 8 of the last 9. Seattle's in Boston, 4 in a row on the road for Seattle. Goal in the first 10. Read Jonathan Davis every day, VSiN.com. He's high on the Wild as well, this miserable Jets outfit. Minnesota's a good price. You think there'll be goals scored in that game? Oilers at home against the Islanders. We got several emails about jump in on the Islanders to win the division and that they can do this. Only 5 points back at Carolina, not to mention the big tickets that some viewers and listeners already have. But the Oilers have cashed 6 in a row at home, goal in the first 10. Islanders 6-1 on the road. And out here, while Davis is in town, Marner goes against his former team, Maple Leafs and Knights. It is $1.90, but VGK 8-1 last night at home, goal in the first 10 as they take on Toronto. And all tickets cash the same. So I love talking to Davis, these nuggets and all these different props you can bet in hockey. Mikhail Sergachev, the Utah defenseman in home games, has gone over his shots on goal prop 18 of the last 19. So Mikhail tonight over 1.5, only minus 140.
Okay.
At home, 18-1 overrun. Shots on goal, he's at least 2.
Very good. Jalen Brunson got hurt last night after like four minutes for the Knicks, left the game. They have a half a game lead over Boston, a one game lead over Toronto. I don't know what that was from Philadelphia last night, and they're 2.5 up on the 76ers. Jonathan Von Tobel and I kicked this around 3 weeks ago on a pod to the futures. Toronto to win the division. They were, I believe, 55-1 at the time, only a couple of games back. They're down to like shop around. They're down between like 15, 20. There might be a higher number. They were 35-1 yesterday still to win that division. They're a game back. That's a good basketball team. And anytime that you can find a number like that, Why couldn't they win it? Because the Knicks are just, we're halfway through the season right now. I think these teams are developing into kind of what we know about them right now is who they're going to be for the full year. And a number that big, even like 20-1 right now, might not be a bad bet. But there were some players who left early last night. And if you bet on their player props, like a book like DK, they refunded the early exit props. Brunson was one. And the other one was a guy that I bet on with Sam Merrill. I didn't bet it at DK, no refund, but he left the game early on, so that three-point prop was no good, and now he's going to be out for the Cavaliers on Friday. But that was an awesome performance out of Cleveland last night.
Now, this is a in-play angle and maybe alts with the Bucks taking on the Spurs. Spurs, after getting blown out against the Thunder, are laying 7 at home against Milwaukee. Milwaukee's 6 games under 500. They just played the Timberwolves at home. Edwards and Gobert didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
They were down 31 at the half, and their fans booed him off the floor. After the game, and during the game, rather, after the game, he had some good comments. During the game, Giannis was doing thumbs down and booing the fans back, saying, you don't do that. And I know he won't ask for a trade, but I think something's going to happen here. When I get booed, I boo back. But they said, you do this on the road. It's at home. He goes, it doesn't matter. I play basketball for my teammates, myself and my family. Whether I'm getting booed on the court or at the dinner table, which was a funny comment, I'm going to come at it and go back against people. I'm a maverick. I won't change. I've never been part of something like that before, and it's not fair, and the fans shouldn't do that. They can't tell us how to act or how to play, and we lose games or how we're supposed to act. No one has the right to tell me how I should act on the court after I've been here for 13 years and I'm the all-time leader in everything Bucks related.
Good quote.
Something could happen here, whether they trade him or this team realizes, boy, come on. You're down 31 and their two best players are out.
Okay, so don't we like him to bounce back tonight?
That's why I said in play. Because you'll find out right away.
Maybe you
get an angry Spurs team.
Oh, this is a...
And it could get out of control. Or Milwaukee bounces back after getting embarrassed and booed on their home floor and Giannis ticked off.
Because you have two teams now. The Spurs they got killed against OKC in the second half. But typically when a team gets beat down like Milwaukee, look at Utah. They lost by 50 over the weekend. The next game, they were 14-point dogs at Cleveland. They beat them outright.
That's right.
That's when you're going to get the team's attention. And then
monitor it early on.
Yeah.
That's right. We talk all the time about making smart bets, and smart advertisers are doing the same thing with Mission Media. And as VSiN's exclusive ad partner, Mission Media gives you direct access to one of the most loyal, action-oriented sports audiences anywhere. Your brand deserves more than impressions. It deserves influence. Get started at VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising at VSiN.com.
Up next, it's almost like an early edition of Let's Get Nuts, Have Some Guts, More Bets, NFL Playoffs. I want to throw some 2 touchdown scores out there and have some fun on guys that actually have a good angle this weekend. That's coming up next here on VSiN.